Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Father, I thank you. You've given us your life to be alive, to be full of your life. Father, I thank you. You're not a quiet, little, timid God, but you're a mighty, majestic, awesome, powerful God. And Father, I thank you that somehow you have put your life in us. Somehow we don't explode or just completely blow apart. But somehow you put your life in us, your magnificent, eternal, incredible life. And Father, I pray that more and more as individuals and as a church, we would express that life, the dynamic of who you are. Father, where there's the lids on our life, blow them off. Take the lids of our life would just be blown off. Where there's any restrictions, there would just be a breaking off of all of those things. Father, I thank you for the life and the liberty of who you are. Amen. Yeah. Just turn to somebody next to you, a few people, and just tell them, I'm alive in Jesus and so are you. Brilliant, guys. Grab a seat. Grab a seat. Brilliant. Now, God's doing a bit of a number on us as a church at the moment. And 2 weeks ago, I was speaking here and we brought that message from Haggai and based around the kind of testimony of what God has been doing and how faithful and how amazing he is. And if you remember the analogy, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, that we were talking about everything that was this side of the line and God was getting us to step over a line, and that line represented elastic bands that we needed to cut, things that would try and drag us back to live over here when God is setting us free and giving us everything we need to live this side of the line to really move forward in his purposes. And as we go forward with God, there are lots of things in life that want to pull you back. The devil wants to pull you back. Circumstances want to pull you back. People might want to pull you back. Words might want to pull you back. But all of the negative stuff that represents however many years, God was saying, I've dealt with it, I've sorted it, and I want you guys to cut the elastic bands that would seek to drag you back over here so that you're free to move fully into everything that I have for you. So we cut a load of elastic bands, and hopefully, since we did that a couple of weeks ago, you've been living in a new type of freedom. I kind of gave a bit of testimony about what God's done in me and what's been happening with me. Maybe you've needed to go and have a conversation with somebody or with other people, or you've needed to get things right with others. Because with what God is doing and what I believe he wants to say this morning, God's giving us permission. He's opening up the environment to make sure as a church we're living clean, living healthy with one another in terms of what he is doing. Last week, Pastor Colin was speaking and it was all about coming into the feast. Is that right? And living in the feast. What does that mean? It's about living in the fullness of who Jesus is. Living in the full inheritance that we have as believers, as sons of God. And everything of himself, of God, that he lavishes on us and wants us to live in fully. That's why the week before, cutting the elastic bands was really important. So there's nothing that wants that can drag us back over here. But that we're free to live fully in what God is doing. So I don't know how many of you guys have gone on to colinurquhart.com or whatever and downloaded, or you're using those things that we were speaking out about the feast and what it means to live in Christ. I don't know if you've been using those, but they're brilliant to use every day to speak over your own life the same things that Jesus is speaking over your life and my life every day. How many of you know that Jesus has never ever said anything negative to you or about you, to you or to anybody else? That's awesome, isn't it? Because a lot of us find ourselves speaking things that he might not speak about other people and about situations. But yet he never does that, and he doesn't want us to do that. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning that follow on from the last couple of weeks, and some scriptures that God's been using in my life personally to help me live in what God is doing, but also in the whole... It's one thing kind of cutting these bands and everything, but what we don't want to do is create some new ones. Because you can cut some bands, can't you, and be free from something, but then if you're not careful, you can easily set up some new ones by the way we might speak to somebody or speak about somebody, or we get something negative going off in our heart for some reason. And before you know where you are, there's a new elastic band that's created that would want to pull you back over here again. So we want to make sure these ones aren't just cut from there, but we don't create any new ones either. So we want to live fully in everything that God has for us. So if you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start there and look at a number of scriptures, four or five different places. God has called us to be disciples. God has not called us just to attend church. God has called us, the call on your life is to be a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who lives like Jesus. So when God calls us to be disciples, he calls us to be Christ-like. The Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. So Jesus is not here on the earth any longer. He is seated with the Father. He is with God, and Jesus intercedes for you and me all the time. I think that's phenomenal. That Jesus, who is God and who is the Son of God, he's praying for us all the time. What's he praying for? He's praying for everything that the Father has for us to be fulfilled in our lives. That we would live walking with Jesus in a Christ-like way, because that's a disciple of Jesus. And so Jesus knew that he couldn't put himself in every one of us because he'd come in physical form as a man, and he lived in the way that he did to demonstrate to us how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit on earth. But also he came ultimately to go to the cross as the sacrifice for our sins, to deal with the wall of sin that was here that separated us from God. And Jesus ultimately on the cross dealt with the power of sin, the power of death and hell, sickness. All of that stuff was defeated, destroyed at that moment. And the way was opened up at that moment for anybody who wanted to respond to the amazing goodness of God to be able to step over into relationship with God and everything that he wants for us and has for us as children of God or sons of God. Is that good news?
Oh, is it good news? Yeah, it's good news. All right, it's good news. Okay.
I'm not going to walk around how that sounded this morning. I'm going to walk around like you're really excited, okay, about who God is and what he's done for you and what we have that we live in and we have fully. So being a disciple is actually about being Christ-like. And so Jesus knew that he was going to have to do something to enable us to live in a Christ-like way. So he said to the early believers, the disciples, I'm going to go out to be with the Father, but we're going to send you the promise, the gift. We're going to send you the Holy Spirit. So my Spirit's going to come in you to enable you to have the nature and the character of Christ, to have my nature, my character in you, to enable you to live as a disciple, as a Christ-like person on the earth. That's pretty awesome. Because Jesus knew that in our own efforts, well, this is all we could do, our own thing, and it was pretty messy and it wasn't so good. But so he came into our lives so that we could be free from that and live fully in who he is. So being a disciple is being a Christ-like person. So we want to look at one or two situations as to how Jesus was and what he did to help us see how do we live in that way. But one of the things that God's doing with us individually and as a church during this autumn that I'm kind of calling an autumn of preparation, because we cut some bands a few weeks ago, but I think there's something deeper that God is doing. He's not just cutting bands. We're brilliant as history, but what now? One of the things I believe he's doing is he's forming, and there's a verse in Galatians where in, I think it's chapter 4, verse 16 or verse 19, either one of those, I'm not sure, I know it's Galatians 4, it's either 16 or 19, where Paul is saying that he's praying for the Galatians, but he's praying that Christ would be formed in them. And so what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit works in our lives to form the nature and the character of Christ in us. Now, when you gave your life to Jesus, you got everything of who God is right at that moment. He didn't give you a bit of himself, and then a bit later when we've sussed what that bit was, and then a bit more when we're good enough to get the next bit. He gave himself fully, everything of who he is at this moment. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit to then enable us to live out our lives in the good of everything that he did right here at this point. That's pretty good, isn't it? So he gives us the power, the ability to enable us to live in a Christ-like way. So with the nature and the character of Christ. And so God's not so interested in how many people are in a meeting on any given day. So like, I've got some friends, various people around the country, and sometimes when you talk to them, and they say, how many people you got in your church? Or how many people this, how many people that? And everybody wants to know how many people you've got. And the question is not how many people have you got. As far as God's concerned, he wants to know how many people are living as disciples, not how many people turn up on a Sunday and go through your doors. Because God looks at things in a different way than we do. Some people count numbers. They have meetings on Saturdays and Sundays, and they count every person that comes in and out of the building on Saturday and Sunday, even if people come two or three times. Well, we got 700 in our church, or 1,500, and it's like, wow. But the question is, how many of them are seeking to live in a Christ-like way? Now, we'd all say, well, hopefully everybody. But you know when sometimes God turns the heat up and it's like, what does it really mean to live a Christ-like way? Do we really want to live in that way? Now, I'd say a lot of us in this church do, don't you? I've had one or two people in the last couple of weeks say to me, come up after the meetings and just say, Clive, I want you to ask you to forgive me that I've just turned up, I've just filled a seat for the last few years and I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't just rock up and sit in the back. I realise God's saying, mate, there's things I want to do in your life and you need to get plugged into what this is God speaking to him. What I'm doing, you need to get plugged into what's happening in the life of the church. So they came to me and said, I'm sorry that I've made it hard work for you because I've just sat there and waited for something to happen, but nothing's going to happen unless I actually personally engage with God. So I want to apologise that it's made what you're doing harder, because you've been speaking, encouraging along with all the other leaders, but I've sat there in my life with this attitude in my heart. And I realise, actually, that nothing's going to change unless something happens in me. So he said, I just want to take the shackles off and say, I'm back, I'm here, I'm going to be fully involved. So I'm like, yeah, come on, brilliant. So that's what God's doing. But it's like, do you want to live in a Christ-like way or not? And so I'm going to go through some scriptures that God's been using with me to, one, to speak to me, but also to help me make sure that, one, all these are cut, but secondly, I don't create any new ones, and thirdly, how to really live going deeper in relationship with people and in the dynamic of love that God is wanting to release, you know, in a greater way amongst us, and he is working. So in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, let's have a look in there. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. So Peter's saying here, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth. So God is speaking to us at the moment, okay? And things happen in your life when you respond to the truth. So just because you hear the truth, that doesn't mean something's happened in you. You've just heard it. But Peter says, you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. So God's word will purify us, but it purifies us when we respond to it. So when God speaks and we respond and say, God, I receive that, or I embrace that, or God, I respond to that by asking you to forgive me. I thank you that you clean me up, you deal with that. That thing's cut, is parked over there. And I thank you now that I can live fully in everything you're saying. So I thank you, your word encourages me. I take hold of that truth right now. It's when we respond to the truth that the purifying of the word does its work in us. And then we begin to live in that because we then cooperate, work with, or believe the word and act upon it. So therefore we live in the good of it. So Peter's saying here, you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth. That's, I believe we're on a bit of a roll with God. It wasn't just a couple of Sundays ago that we cut everything. And then last week, here's the truth. And then let's go on to something else. Now, it's God wants us to live in what he's doing. There's a bit of a more to a preparation where in order to go deeper in our relationship with God and the dynamic of love amongst us, the sincerity or the depth of love, to be real in our lives, then what you're going to probably find, I know I'm finding over these last few weeks, that as God goes deeper in your life, he unearths some things that you were just there, but you hadn't realized because you hadn't let God in that deep. Even though we're fully his, it's like there's a depth of relationship. So what is a disciple of Jesus? Somebody wants to walk as closely as they can to Jesus because they want to be like him. And when you want to be like him, there's because he is light, there are things that get revealed Because he is light, there's no darkness in him. There's things that get revealed and you think, wow, I didn't know that attitude was there. Or I didn't realize, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, you pointed that out in me that goes on in my head that I'd kind of just let go on down there. But because you're going deeper and I want to be closer to you and I want a greater dynamic of your love to be at work in me and through me, then God's going to unearth some things and do some things. And so if we look at some of these words in a different way, let's just read that verse again. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere, or another word for that is unfeigned. Now, when you're feigning something, you're acting it. It's not real. You're acting it out as if it is real, but it isn't. And so you're trying to con somebody. And basically, the word here, the sincere, something that's unfeigned. So it's sincere, has integrity, it has real meaning to it. But then it says, in the way that you love your brothers, love one another with a pure heart and fervently and deeply from the heart. Now, our own natural love comes from the soul. And it goes like that. Whereas God's love is from the Spirit, and his love never changes. It's unfailing. And so as we kind of work with the Holy Spirit and with the Word during these days, then God is working and releasing the love he has already given us. Because remember, at this point, you received Jesus, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit or whatever, and so, well, not whatever, in the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't whatever that is, but in the Holy Spirit, and so you had the fullness of God at that moment. So it's not that you need more love from God, you have all that love, but it just needs releasing. And it gets released as we submit ourselves, as we work with God, and as we allow him to do things in our hearts. So let's have a look at Luke 5:22. If you want to turn there, the context of the story in Luke 5 is Jesus was in a house, and four guys brought their friend on a stretcher or on a bed, and they lifted him onto the roof of the house. They dug a hole through the house, through the roof, and then they lowered their friend right in front of Jesus. And the first thing Jesus said to this guy was, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now the Pharisees were pretty upset by that, but they didn't say anything, but they thought in their minds or in their hearts, how can he say that? How dare he say, only God can forgive sins. Now, Jesus is amazing, isn't it? Because it then says in verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? So they didn't even say anything, but Jesus knew. The Holy Spirit revealed to them, this is what's going on in their thinking. This is what's going on in their hearts. In the Bible, heart and mind is the same. So what's going on in your heart is in your mind. What's in your mind is in your heart. You don't separate the two things. And sometimes whatever's going on in your heart goes on in your mind. You think about it and then you speak about it. Because if you're really into something, you just can't help talking about it. But there are other things that go in our hearts and our mind that it's like, I'm not going to say that. I don't want anybody to know that's going on. Or that's what I really think. So I'm going to just keep it in there for a little while. And it's those kind of things that I believe God is wanting to bring to the surface in these days. Not because he wants to focus on those, but if he's called us to be disciples who live in a Christ-like way, then as we seek to live in the light and walk in the light with him, because he is light, there's no darkness in him at all, then stuff is going to happen in our lives. Stuff will come to the surface because we're seeking to walk more closely with Jesus. And because there isn't anything like that going on in his heart, then stuff is revealed in our hearts that doesn't line up with his heart. And then we realize, whoa, hang on a minute. Not because he wants to put us down, but actually because he wants us to live free from it so that enables us to live even closer with him. In that way. Are you with me? So these two questions, the question in this verse and a question in another one, which we'll look at in a minute. These are two questions God's been asking me over the last few weeks. Now, it hasn't just been asking me when I've been spending time with him, but what I've found is as I'm living during the day and doing all the stuff that I do and whatever you do in your situation, your life, it's been a lot more aware of what's happening in my relationships. What's the dynamic going on? What are the conversations? What are the things that I could just respond to? Because I think response is generally positive, but reaction is generally negative. So what am I responding to in a good way, but what am I reacting to, which generally has more of a negative kind of tone and actions and body language and words and thoughts, and whereas response is much more, yeah, okay, brilliant. What can I do to, how can we rather than, I didn't like that, living heck, you know. Do you understand the difference, response and reaction? And God's really been using these questions for me. But in our leadership team, the five of us, Pastor Jonathan Croft, myself, Jonathan Dyke, Paul Taylor, and Simon Coles, the five of us together, God's been doing a real number on us, and God's been unearthing stuff, because he's saying, like we've just read, as you've been responding to the word, and I've been purifying your hearts so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply or fervently with a pure heart. And so it's like God's opened up an environment and said, hey guys, I want you to go deeper in your friendships with one another. So we've been having conversations together, and different ones of us individually. We've been sitting down and actually just with open heart, not pointing the finger or anything, but just saying, this is where I'm at. I've really struggled with this, or I know it's been miscommunication, but we've just not seen eye to eye. There's been this, that, and the other. It's not like massive falling out and I hate your guts and blah, you know. I hope it hasn't been anyway, you know. But it's like, if God is light and there's no darkness in him whatsoever, it's like God wants our relationships to be like that as well. And you think, is that possible? And it's like, well, it must be. But let's at least go in that direction and work towards it, even though everything is not necessarily perfect. And so we've had conversations with one another. We had a meeting the other day for an hour that was going to be about a few things. It ended up being 3.5 hours, but a load of it came out about just how we get on, how we don't get on, where we rub each other the wrong way, where there are tensions, where there are things, where we miscommunicate, where we misunderstand each other, all of that kind of stuff. But nobody was having a go at anybody in the room and saying, well, it's, you know, it was coming from a heart of, we've cut elastic bands, we've dealt with stuff, so it's coming from a different attitude. But we want to walk in the light with one another as we are in the light with him. We want to walk in the light together, so there's nothing hidden, there's nothing going on. The enemy can jump on, use, twist or whatever to try and affect our lives. And so this question for me was, why are you thinking these things in your heart? And there's been situations over the last couple of weeks where I hear about something or somebody has a conversation with me, and I've really been noticing the difference between a response to somebody and then when there's been a reaction. And the question I've been asking is not, well, they should do this, but the question is, why am I reacting? What is going on in me that causes me to react? It doesn't matter whether the person or the situation is right or wrong. Why am I responding in that way? Because if I react, then there's something going on in me that is not right. See, whatever situation Jesus came across, he acted with mercy or with compassion or with grace or with love or forgiveness or whatever. Sometimes he got angry, but he got angry with religiosity because that bound people up and restricted people, right? And the odd time he did say some things that were quite interesting, but it didn't come out of a reaction. It came out of a response to the Spirit of God doing something in him. And so I've been much more, okay, why am I reacting? I'm reacting because ultimately, and there was one situation for me, there was a situation where ultimately it's like, no, we're not doing it like that. And basically I realized I reacted because I wanted us to do something my way. Now, there's a difference between saying, okay, I really believe this is the right thing or the right way. This is how we need to go forward, guys, with this. And everybody goes, yeah, great. But there was something that went off in me that was like, no, hang on a minute. I decided this. Somebody decided something else. That is not what I decided. And what I found myself doing was, it wasn't like, okay, I'm just going to have a chat with them and find out where the miscommunication's been. What I found going off on me was like, hang on, how dare they, you know, I didn't say that to anybody else, but in my head and my heart was, how dare they say that? When I've said something else, we've sent that out, people, and then they go and change, right, I'm going to go and, you know, it was more that was going off inside me. And I'm like, God, what's going on in me that I reacted like that? Because we could all say, well, yeah, but we all do that every now and then. But it's like, I don't want to react like that, though. And, no, exactly. And because Jesus didn't. And if I want to be, if I'm a disciple and I'm Christ-like, then I don't want to live in that way. So some of these things have been happening to me. Why are you thinking these things? So the question I've asked myself then is, what's going off on me? Is it because I wanted my way? What's that? I want it my way. It's my way. It's selfish. could be self-righteousness. I don't know, I'm right. No, I'm right, and they're wrong. And we're going to talk, you know, it's all of that. It's sometimes it's how you deal with something. Was always how you deal with it, and you either deal with it with a good heart or with a bit of an issue. And then that's when things become issues, because you don't deal with it in the right way. So it could be some fear going off on the inside of you, because you might react to somebody. There might be insecurities, and therefore you do things in a certain way to protect yourself, but actually you don't let people in. And potentially, if you're living out of fear, you're not free to engage. People don't engage with you, and fear kind of puts a protection around ourselves, and we don't let people in. So there might be different motivations that cause you to do things a different way. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 9. I like this story as well, but God used this one, or has, and is using this on me. Matthew 9, verse 33. They came to Capernaum. When Jesus was in the house, he asked the disciples, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet. How many of you know when you've done something and somebody says, "Can I have a word with you?" You go, "Yeah." Sometimes our response, you know what a kid's like sometimes, when you get one of your kids and you're like, "Can I have a chat with you? Did you do what I told you not to do?" And they have a, "What did I say not to do?" And they go, "Quiet." That's why I am to the disciples at that moment. And he says, "What were you arguing about? What were you talking about?" But they kept quiet because on the way, they'd argued about who was the greatest. Jesus sat them down, or sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and he said, "Look, guys, if anybody wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." You know, how often, like this question here, what were you talking about on the road? There are lots of things, conversations we can have over there or over there that are hidden. Have a little chat with that person, a little chat with this, bit of a rumour there, bit of a gossip there, bit of a negative there. How many of you know, in every bit of negative, there's always an element of truth? If it's so ridiculous, nobody wants to listen to you, do they? Well, that's stupid, that's nuts, you know. But there's always an element of truth that is the seed that hooks somebody, and then you bit your opinion, your thing on the end of it, and after 5 minutes, they're like, "Yeah, that person is an idiot. You're right. Oh, mate, I'm really sorry that you're in this situation." And this person's going, "Yeah, they're on my side, because I want to be right." All right. And before we know where we are, you've put a negative thing in somebody else about somebody else because you've got a bit of a gripe, or I've got a bit, or whatever. And so God asked this question to me: what were you talking about on the road? What do you talk about when nobody else is listening? Now, sometimes it's not what you're talking about, it's how you're talking about whatever. Because we might have a situation where there's an issue or something that needs sorting out in the church or with somebody or whatever it might be. And it's fine to identify, okay, you know, there's a bit of an issue here, something's happened over there, okay, what do we need to do then? There's a difference between saying that, okay, let's do this, let's have a conversation, let's meet up with them, let's, you know, there's a difference between that and somebody going, "Look, there's a bit of an issue," and we're like, "Yeah, they're a blooming idiot, aren't they? I mean, they should have, you know, if they just get their act together." How many times have we prayed, how many times, "Oh, what, blooming heck, you know, it'd be better if they weren't in the church," and, "Oh, yeah," I mean, that's not going to help anybody, is it? And what we do when we do that is we put people in a box. And we say, "Oh, well, that's just the way they are." That's like saying, "God, you're not big enough to do something in their life." Well, we'll just leave them there. It's like, no, because God says, "Well, I'm not leaving them there. And I want to work in their lives, minister to them, so that they can live in the fullness and the freedom and all of that." So this question, what were you talking about on the road? It's like one of those... So what goes on in secret that you don't think anybody else hears, or you think you're justified in saying something? And it's not that we go about, you know, what conversations could I have today that are going to, you know, all of that. There's just stuff that happens in life. And so for me, these two questions God's really been using over these last couple of weeks. Why are you thinking those things in your heart? And what were you talking about on the road? What conversation have you had today? And so it's not just looking back. It's as I'm walking forward, it's what's going on in my heart. Because what's going on there will determine what I say, how I act, how I respond, and how I am towards other people. And as I said, we've had some interesting times as a leadership team because of what God is doing and just bringing to the surface. And some of them aren't mega issues or anything. They're just little bits and pieces, but they affect sometimes the way we are. Some of it's just miscommunication. But you know, when there's miscommunication, the enemy magnifies that into some mountain of an issue that actually you think, hang on a minute, it's just a bit of miscommunication. But if we don't sort it becomes a problem. Are you there? Let's have a look at 1 John 1, verse 5 to 7. So it means us being humble when we want to get things right with people, while you're turning there. Because whenever something needs to get sorted, it's never one-sided. It takes two to tango. It could be 90% one person, 10% the other, or 50-50 or whatever. But there's still a part that what you or I have played in a situation that hasn't helped. And so for me, it's approaching that with a heart of, look, I want to get this right. I ask you to forgive me for any part that I've played. If I've upset you, things I've said, I ask you to forgive me. And I'm sorry for what I've done and the heart that I did it in and all of that. Now, if the other person doesn't respond in that way, all right. But as long as you respond in that way and come with that kind of attitude, what normally happens when you come like that is something happens in the other and they're like, oh, the bubble gets burst. And they're like, oh, I'm really sorry too. I never wanted it to happen, but la, 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 la. And then something happens. And I believe God is creating and giving us opportunity to deal with stuff, to live like this. Now, the flip side of all of that is really positive. Not just the negative stuff we've been talking about and everything, but actually, what would it be like if our response to what God's saying at the moment is, when I go to a life group, how can I encourage people? How can we sharpen each other? How can we actually live in this way? How can we go deeper in our relationships and look at it in a very positive way rather than just, I've got to talk to somebody because I've had a bit of an issue with them. Okay, let's sort those things. But how do we go forward in terms of actually encouraging and strengthening one another? One of the words in part of our values under family of believers and what that means in terms of our relationship is the word encourage. And we said that encourage is our language. And if Jesus' language to us is always positive, upbuilding and encouraging, yes, he might confront us sometimes, but he does it in an incredibly loving way. And because you always know he's right, you don't tend to argue. Well, you might have a quick couple of words with him, but you know he's right, and therefore, actually, you've got me on that one, Lord. You know, and so you respond to him saying, God, I thank you that you pointed it out. Not because he just wants to point it out, because he realizes, look, that hinders you living in a Christ-like way because you've been coming out with this attitude or whatever that you might not have noticed, but other people have picked up on. And I want you to live free from that so that actually other people are blessed by how you are in this situation or whatever. So when we look at 1 John 1, verse 5 to 7, it says, this is the message that we have heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And so if we understand that he's light and there's no darkness, if we're a disciple of Jesus and we're going to be Christ-like, then as we seek to be closer with Jesus and with one another, there will be stuff that comes to the surface that we'll need to respond to. Not react to, but respond to. And actually, it comes to the surface because God is light, not because he wants to make an issue of it in us and say, look, I knew you couldn't do that. We know we can't do it, but God doesn't shine his light for that. He shines it on us to enable us to live fully in the way that he wants us to, but there's stuff we need to deal with on the way. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So as we're responding to God at the moment, we're seeking to live by the truth, live by his word, and respond to whatever he's saying. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So the more we live in the light, the closer and the deeper our relationships are going to be with each other. There won't be space for, so what were you thinking on the road? Because you know what it's like when you're in relationship with somebody, you don't want to speak badly about them. Actually, you, what goes on in you is, actually, you're not going to hear anything negative about him from anybody else. Oh, hang on a minute, he's my mate. And that's kind of what's been happening with us as a leadership, as God's been doing a number on us and working us and bringing things to the surface and whatever, how small or big that might be, what you find is your hearts get more bound together, bonded together, and you find it's like, actually, I want to defend that person, you speak well of them. It's not that you haven't, but it's just a whole nother level than you have done before. And then it says, we have fellowship with one another. So how much we live in the light determines how much we walk together in the light and how deep that is. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So that we know we can't live this in our own strength, but yet the blood of Jesus is there to enable us to live in that way. So if he does bring stuff to the surface, Jesus, I need the blood to cleanse me right now from that attitude, from whatever it is. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the spirit of love on the inside of me. And I thank you that it's you working in me, the nature and the character of Christ, that then enables me to love with your love and not just out of a soulish love. Because I, you know, because we do love. Of course, we do in the natural. But yet, that's not enough. And that's why God puts His love in us, so that it's His love that is loved, is expressed through our lives. Okay, then it says in John chapter 13, a new command I give you, love one another. So John 13 verses 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So here's this command, but the Holy Spirit enables it. And then he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So we're called to be disciples of Jesus. We're called to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus. And Jesus says here himself, love one another in the same way that I loved you. If you do that, then the world will see that you are my disciples. Not just a disciple, but my, his, disciple of Jesus. There's something about this dynamic of love that is at work in us, that Jesus says the world will know that you're a disciple. What does that mean, to be a disciple? It means to be, they'll know that you're Christ-like. It's not because of what you say, but because of the way you live. James, in the book of James, he really nails this one. He says, you do not love with words, but with actions. It's like, wow. He's really whacking that one. It wasn't like, you know, with your words, put some actions to it. He says, love is demonstrated with actions, not with words. It's easy to say to somebody sometimes, I love you, but actually, what do we really mean by that? But yet, love is shown with action, not with words. But to enable us to live in the light and walk in the light together, words are really important, because words can either cause separation and hassles, or words can bring restoration and reconciliation, because there can be words in the darkness or the thoughts that are going on in our minds and hearts that are connected with words that then we might speak. If we're seeking to live in the light and live as disciples and be Christ-like, then sometimes we need to go to somebody else and have a conversation, and that involves words. It's an action because we've got to go, but words also break off things that want to pull us back over here. And as we love one another and seek to be Christ-like together, living in the light, it stops new elastic bands being created. So we've had a number of situations in the last couple of weeks where there's things that we've known we need to sort or deal with, whether it's, you know, within the team, the staff, in terms of just one or two things, the way we work here, or one or two situations that we need to sort out or whatever. There's been a couple of situations where the elastic bands have been cut for that, but then one or two things have arisen that we're like, hang on a minute, if we don't sort that now, we're going to create a new elastic band. And we don't want to create new ones. We want to live free from those. Yeah. And so therefore, conversations, words are really important in walking in the light and living in the light together. So James wasn't saying don't use any words, but it's, what he's saying is don't go around just saying I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you to everybody, because that doesn't mean anything. What he's saying is love is expressed, genuine love is expressed through by the way we are towards one another, what we do. And obviously words are part of that in terms of what they do, in terms of releasing life or releasing death. And so Jesus is saying love each other in the same way as I have loved you. And if you're loving this way, the world is going to see that you're Christ-like, that you're my disciples. And it comes back to the question right at the beginning. How many of us want to be disciples? Absolutely. What does that mean? That means Christ-like. What does it mean at this moment that God is doing a bit of a number on us as a people, saying, oh, I want a greater depth of sincerity or depth or whatever words we use, genuine or pure kind of love. And that's only the Holy Spirit that does that. But God's going to bring to the surface some things as you seek to live in the light. It's not go looking for that stuff. But as you seek to live in the light, then you're going to be aware of things, and we just skim them off. Okay, and part of that skimming off is before God, but also it's going to have a chat with somebody. I've had a number of different people come and talk to me, and it's been great, you know. And I've had to go and talk to one or two other people. And as I've done that, the thought of it sometimes is quite difficult, isn't it? But what's happened in the doing of it, it's been liberty, freedom. It's like One person came to see me the other week, and they came and saw me, and I didn't know some of what was going on inside them, and I had to apologise for some things, but they shared, poured their heart out, and said some things, and for me it was like, wow, I didn't realise some of that was going on. And so I said, look, forgive me, I just wasn't aware that was happening with you and what you were going through, and I'm sorry for miscommunicating something or not touching base with you about this more, and it's just left you hanging, and you've ended up sort of having all this stuff going on in your head that you didn't want to have, but it's just there because I didn't do what I... So I asked you to forgive me. And this person was like, you know, I've got before God and prayed through this and made sure my heart was right and everything. But what they said afterwards, they said, oh, it feels like just a weight has gone. And I'm like... And now, when the person left my office, I sat there and I said to the Lord, God, I ask you to forgive me that I didn't... I just did not close the loop. That's a bit of a phrase we're using at the moment. I didn't close the loop on that situation. I've just left the person hanging, but I didn't realise that's what I'd done. But it's all about walking together in relationship and being open. And it's like I had another one last week where somebody, you know, came to just to have a conversation, say, look, can we get reconciled because of something? And they didn't do initially what they needed to do in terms of responding to me, because they didn't know what my response was going to be. Now, I already knew, if I saw this person, what I was going to say and what I was going to do. And they came up to me, and it was a bit awkward at first, because they really wanted to say something, but didn't know what to say or how to say it. And so I stood there, and I'm like, I know what they need to do because of the situation before I say anything, because of this particular, whatever, I won't give you the details. But I knew they had to say something first. It wasn't about me saying something first. They had to say something first. And I knew what they needed to do, but they weren't sure. So when we had the conversation, I said, look, this is what you need to do. Eventually, in the they did what it was. And I said, now, if you did that, you don't know what my response is going to be, do you? And they're like, no. And I said, well, shall I tell you what my response is going to be if you do what you need to do in relation to me? And they went, yeah. And I said, if you do this, this is what my response is going to be to you. And I told them, and they were like, they were shocked. They were like, what? And so then they immediately then started saying everything that they needed to say to me. And it was like a bit of a gush and everything, which was great. And then I said, and this is what, I apologize for this. I'm sorry for that. And it was like something happened. Are you ready? Yeah. Let's stand together. I don't know about you, but I want to be a disciple of Jesus, yeah? Because that's really what it's more about. It's not about dealing with a problem. But being a disciple of Jesus is living in a Christ-like way. And if God is speaking to us about living in a greater dimension of his love, greater dynamic of his love, then we want to answer those two questions. First question is, why are you thinking some of the things you do? And what have you been talking about on the road? What's been going on? And again, there might be some things to cut or whatever, some lackey bands, or just to just work in your heart for a minute. But really the ultimate response is, Jesus, I want to live in the light. I want to walk in the light. I want to walk as a Christ-like person. I want to be a disciple. I don't just want to be a church member or a pew filler or turn up on Sunday or whatever. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, somebody who lives in this way in my life. So you ready to pray for a couple of moments? Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes because time's kind of gone this morning or this afternoon. Firstly, just thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life. Thank him for the bands that have been cut. Thank him for the history that has been dealt with. You might need to just open your mouth and just talk to the Lord for a moment. But just thank him. Thank you, Jesus, that you've dealt with the old. You thank him for the elastic bands that have been broken. I thank you for things that have already been restored, even in the last couple of weeks. Things that are different. Thank you that maybe there's a weight that's fallen off your life, like I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. All the stuff that had been dogging me just fell to the ground when I prayed on holiday that morning, and all the stuff that just was dogging me and all the stuff just became nothing. It died at that moment. And the freedom and the liberty there's been since then, before God and just around my life, where even going into town, I used to hate going into town because I thought I'm going to come across people that are just this, they're going to say this, that, and the other to me. And all of that. And I was in town yesterday and none of that was going on in my head whatsoever. Just walking around feeling like this is my town. I live here. Thank you, Jesus. Rather than I don't really want to go to town in case I come across somebody that whatever doesn't like me or something. And all of that rubbish that goes on. Father, I thank you that I'm free from all of that. And I thank you for your freedom for people, everybody in the room right now. But let's just answer those two questions. Why are you thinking those thoughts in your heart? Is there anything that you know is going on? You don't go looking for it. The Holy Spirit would have probably already made you aware of it by now. But if there's anything going on in your heart where you know, yeah, it might come out of fear or insecurity and all those sort of things. That's why we need to encounter God in His love. So we're going to do that over the next couple of minutes. Just come before Him in His love right now. Because His love casts out all fear. So if you know some of what you do is motivated out of fear or insecurity, you need to just give that to the Lord right now. Fear of what others think about you. Fear of reputation. What reputation you might have. Or maybe sometimes, I don't want to go too deep in case I get rejected. There might be things that have happened in your life where you really opened up your life and your heart and it wasn't good. And you've kind of put self-protection around. It's like, Father, I don't want to live like that any longer. I thank you that you are my security. I thank you that you are my stability. I thank you that you are my identity. And I thank you as I have a fresh revelation of you and who you are, I can live free from fear, free from insecurities, free from isolation, free from intimidation or whatever people might think of me. I thank you for the freedom that there is in you today. So I put my trust in you in a fresh way. I thank you that you are my security and my identity today. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The other question that he had was, what were you talking about on the road or arguing about? But what were you talking about? Maybe there's things you've spoken about or chatted about. Maybe it comes from, I want to be right, or there's a bit of self-righteousness in there. No, I am right. And like I shared, I had a little bit of that in that situation. It's like, God, I don't want that. I don't want to react. I want to respond. If you know there are things you've said in secret, if you haven't already dealt with those before, if you have, you're forgiven already. But if you become aware of things while I've been speaking, you think, actually, yeah, I need to just deal with that. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Father, forgive me for speaking about things, saying things about that individual, that situation. It was more about my opinion and being right, that actually it was about encouraging or strengthening that person. Father, forgive me where I've put a negative in somebody else because of the way I've spoken about others. Forgive me for that, Jesus. I thank you that that band is cut right now. But I want to be an encourager, somebody's strength. So I just humble myself this afternoon just before you. And whatever part I've played in something that hasn't been positive, hasn't helped, I ask you to forgive me. I thank you that you cleanse my heart in the same way the first scripture we looked at. You've cleansed yourself, purified yourself by obeying or by responding to the truth. So I thank you for that cleansing right now. I choose to live clean from all that stuff. And Father, I thank you for the grace right now to go to whoever I might need to go to, have a conversation, to be reconciled, not to say who's right, who's wrong, because we've both been right and we've both been wrong. And at the end of the day, actually, it's more about where you are in it, God, rather than my thing. So Father, I thank you for that healing. I thank you for that restoration, reconciliation with anybody that I might need to do that with. I thank you that you make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way, or if I just don't know what to do. I thank you for the wisdom to know what I need to do. But Father, on the flip side of that, I thank you that you place me in a body where I can be an encouragement, be a strength to others. And I thank you that you want me to sharpen iron, as in iron sharpens iron. So Father, I thank you for my life group, those that I'm doing life with, sharing stuff with and meeting up with. I thank you that I can be a blessing to them. I thank you that I can help provoke them in a good way to love in a greater way because of what you're doing in my life. I thank you, Jesus. I can be an encouragement, a blessing to those that are living around me. I thank you for a greater depth and sincerity of love that I can love others with. So I thank you for being a dynamo in that situation, an initiator of love in the body. Thank you, I can be a blessing. Just speak that over your life. Thank you, Jesus, I can be a blessing to the body. Thank you, I can be a dynamo of love into the body. Thank you that iron sharpens iron. I can be part of that sharpening and helping the body to grow in depth and in health, in love and in relationship. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your awesome name. Father, I thank you for the grace to respond to you in these days. Father, ultimately, you're saying all this stuff, not for our glory or our benefit, but for your glory. And we get blessed on the way. But I thank you that this is for your glory, what you're doing in us and amongst us. So, Father, I thank you for the grace and the wisdom. If any of us need to go and sort something with anybody, and your grace upon that moment to just restore, bring healing, so we can all move forward. So we've got a healthy body in every part. I thank you, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for people here this morning that maybe don't know you. They've never given their lives to you. Father, I just pray for them right now. They might be just their heart pumping or just something. Well, it's pumping because they're alive. But, you know, in terms of just that something's going off on them right now that's like, wow, this stuff sounds quite real. This God thing sounds like you people know him. It's like a personal thing. And if you're here this today and you don't know Jesus and you've been hearing this message about relationship with God and relationship with one another, that God can forgive, God can clean our lives up, we can have a relationship with God. You might have never heard that before, but that's who God is. He loves us to have relationship with him and to know him. That's what you're created for and destined for, to know your creator, to know the living God, to know Jesus. And some of you might be here, well, I'm interested, but I don't know yet. I want to check things out. That's fine. Keep checking things out. Have a look and find out. But there might be some of you that are saying, I want to know this Jesus, but you understand it's being Christ-like. Being a Christian is not just God forgiving your sins and then you do what you like for the rest of your life. Becoming a Christian is actually saying, I want to be Christ-like. That's pretty awesome. It's quite a challenge in our lives in a 21st century society. I want to be like Jesus. I want to live in the light of who Jesus is. I want to know him and I want to be like him. If that's where you're at this morning, you are ready to respond to God. And if that's what's going on for you, you can just talk to him for a few moments and take an initial step saying, Jesus, I want to surrender my life today to you. I don't want to give you my life today. But I know I need you to give me your life in return. So if that's you and your heart is beating or you just know that's what I want to do today, you can just take that initial step. And then I'll be here afterwards. Love to talk with you and if you want, pray with you. But just where you are, you can just say, Jesus, forgive me for all the stuff that I've done that separated me from you. And ask you to forgive me for that. Jesus, I give you my life right now, but I ask you in return to give me yours because I realize your life is far, far better than mine. And I ask you to give me your life. I thank you, Jesus, that you've got a great life ahead, but I want to walk with you. I want to be like you, Jesus. So I want to start that walk, that relationship, that journey today. Thank you, Father. Now, if you've responded in some way, I'd love to talk with you. I know one or two of the other guys, Jonathan, who was leading the meeting earlier. There's guys on the Connect team, people that would just love to talk and pray with you. Just come up to your right at the front afterwards. We'd love to chat with you and pray with you and just help you. How do you actually really get to know God? What does that mean to really give your life to Jesus? If there's anybody here today that's in your heart, then we'd love to talk and pray with you. Father, I thank you that you send us out today to live in the power of the Holy Spirit through your grace. I thank you, enable us to live in the way you've called us to live as disciples, to be Christ-like in our lives. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you just enable us when stuff's going to go pear-shaped in our thinking, in our hearts, we might come out with something that's not going to upbuild, that you just say, hey, hang on a minute, hold that thought. Hold that thought. And we can go, thank you, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I'm not going to go there. Thank you. Instead, I can respond and not react. So, Father, I thank you, enable us to live in that way, to be a blessing to our family, our households, our friend, our work colleagues, whoever we're going to be with this week. Thank you that we can be a blessing to them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.